trying to live way beyond paradise. Are you down or are you really scared of heights? Make a move. Do you want a piece of pie? Envision life way beyond a 9 to 5.
I just want the vibe to be so natural.
This is the Higher Frequencies Podcast Show with your host,
Shawn Mike.
It's like, you're like, God damn. Oh shit! He really impacted a lot more people than you could even imagine. Like, right. Yeah, right. That's what. Yeah, Kobe was a great person.
Yeah, rest in peace to Kobe, man. Like,
rest in peace, Kobe.
And when it's all said and done, what do you feel like his legacy would be? Like, how do you remember him in your own kind of way?
Yeah, man. She just said I was saying, bro. Like, he gave competitor a different meaning, and like, I think Kobe, like. I think why he was the best competitor, and I mean, not to turn this into like some crazy deep shit, but I think he saw competitive, bro, like from a whole different sense. Most people compete from like ego, like competition. He used to say it all the time, shit, like, I'm going to be in the gym early as fuck, late as fuck, because I want to be better than like my previous like self. So like, if you was already like the crazy Kobe that was going to give you 50 yesterday, and he's still working to get better. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to get you 60 tomorrow type shit. So, like, he just saw competition as, like, beating the person in the mirror. So, like, I think that he'll be remembered as, like, that's why he'll be remembered as the best competitor. The stories that people was telling of him and shit that you just really didn't even know. Like,
and then that's also, out of we actually got to really experience, you know what I'm saying? Like, I came in at the end of Jordan's career, you know what I'm saying? So, I remember from what I can remember, probably, like, 96 to he retired Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
shit,
really,
mine was later than that, bro. I ain't start watching basketball until I started playing the bitch.
For real?
Yeah, just barely, but yeah. So I'd be a liar if I told you I watched any Jordan in Bulls jersey.
I did.
Wizards, bro.
I did. Shit. I remember Jordan. I remember he had epic battles against like the Heat, Pacers. You know what I'm saying? Reggie.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. And then I'm a Pacers fan too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you fuck with Reggie.
Yeah, hell yeah. And the Pacers narrative is basically, we can't get past the ghost, bro. LeBron put us out all the time. Jordan put us out all the time. Yeah. We never have a goat of our own to like kind of surmount that shit. You feel me?
For sure. But speaking of Pacers, they gave me like my favorite series that I've ever seen the Heat play in was against the Pacers. Danny Granger was still playing.
Man,
Paul George wasn't the man yet.
Yeah.
But Danny Granger wasn't scared of Bron. He wasn't scared of the Pacers at all.
Nah.
So, like that series is one of my favorite series I'd probably watch, if not the favorite series.
Yeah.
That was a scrappy series. That was the first, like, I actually got to see, like, oh, Pacers got, like, a fighting culture of, like, they could be down 15, bro. Yeah. They're still trying to scrap. So,
yeah. Nah, that's real. We had like three years worth of Pacers and Heat. You know what I'm saying?
It was
three straight years. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I remember it because Danny Granger was only there for one playoff series.
And then the next series, it was Paul George. Yeah.
Man, if Danny Granger would have stayed healthy and Paul George, bro, we saw a preview.
I be feeling like people have their coming out parties of stars against the Heat. Or maybe because like you feel like somebody's a star if they cook. Because it's on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
Shit, but Paul George was fucking him up that whole series. George Hill, Roy Hibbert.
We had the squad, bro. That's like the first time. That's the first complete Pacers team I really saw. Like, all across the board. Not just Reggie Tom. You know what I'm saying? Not just Reggie this, Reggie that. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Man, I kind of started the podcast different. You know what I'm saying? What's good, Ron?
What's going on, bro?
Chilling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ron Obasi. How you doing today?
I'm blessed, bro.
For sure, man. Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you as well.
It's a lot of good activity going on with you and I. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, bro, I'm real, like, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for the most right now?
Shit. Another day, another opportunity to get better. Honestly, shit. Fatherhood, shoot. Both of those are kind of so, like, fatherhood is like a mantra and stuff. Everything is like learning lessons, shit. So grateful for both of those things, bro, because it's not a lot of people get those opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. I think about, not to, you know, get too deep or whatnot, but I think about, you know, will I ever be blessed with like a little one? You know what I'm saying? What would that look like for me? You know what I'm saying? And just.
You want to be a father?
Yeah.
You looking forward to that?
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, when man, the timing is right, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When the timing is right. I ain't like, not like immediately. You feel me? Shit.
Man, shit, I didn't. Shit, obviously my timing was when it was, bro. I was 21, though. I mean.
And see, that's how it hits different. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion.
But I mean, shit, I was still out here running around like I was fucking 17, 16.
Real?
Yeah, bro. Like, I mean, smart, but wasn't really applying that shit.
Yeah. Man.
Just made a little one. Careless, obviously. But I love it to death, bro.
Any regrets?
Nah, bro. Life happens, highs happens, bro. Yeah. Yeah, that was my first, like, that was, my daughter was definitely, like, my first, like, true sense of purpose. So you never regret those type of things, bro. So it ain't like, can't take that back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's a blessing. How many kids you want, bro? I'm gonna ask.
Man, I don't know. For some reason, the odd number three just kind of stands out to me. Two boys, one girl. It's just, it's like that order. And then for some reason, I already got my daughter's name. Her name is going to be, if her mother is receptive, whoever she may be. Her name is.
Don't say if, bro. Speak that.
So when I do meet, you know, whoever is, you know, I'm supposed to do that with, my daughter's name is going to be Aubrey Ariana Anderson.
That's a beautiful
I'm gonna call it double A. You know what I'm saying? Triple A. My bad. Triple A.
That's funny, Sam. That's
but for some reason, though, like, I don't know. I feel like her energy would be, she's gonna keep me going and going and going. So that's why I said double A. You know what I'm saying? Energizer. What? You feel me? That's gonna be my battery pack. You feel me?
I dig that, bro.
Yeah.
Giving names with purpose and intention, bro, means something, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I love my daughter's name, bro. I got Debo'd on that. We ain't got to go in depth about it. I get to do the name, you feel me? But I want five of them, though, so the next four is definitely getting that name.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
And so you already got that little experience, you feel me? That's why I be asking you the questions I ask all the time. I'm like, I'm nigga curious, you feel me?
Nah, bro, you ask all the questions you like, man. That's what we here for, bro.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Man, just, you know, let's switch gears, though, bro. It's just been a lot of good shit going on in life. You feel me? And I really appreciate you just sitting down with me, especially during these trials or these uncanny times. You feel me? Unprecedented.
Yep.
How have you still been able to keep the mindset of just creativity, family, obviously? How have you been able? How has that still been the forefront? Despite everything that's going on,
continuously just being active on those things, like they like shit. I don't got no blind eye to what's going on outside. But I guess in a sense, it's like I got this thing in my mind where like I genuinely can't control what's going on outside. You know what I mean? Like genuinely, like in my hands, if I could change what's going on in the world, bro, I would. I know a million other people would.
Yeah.
So like, but I do know what's tangible. I do know what I can do. You know what I'm saying? And rather like sit around and be like, fuck, the world is burning, what I'm gonna do, shit, I'm just gonna get my best every day while I'm here type shit. So that's how I stay creative. That's how I stay active, upbeat, cause you know what I'm saying? That's really is, bro. Yeah, bro, and it kind of like, you know, just having faith, bro. Like, again, like, I can't remember a time where I wasn't alive where the world wasn't some shit in a sense, you know what I'm saying? But you could change your perspective and be like, how can I change it? We was talking about it before we started. When I walked in, y'all was just saying, like, shit, just to simplify, like, you can't change the world till you change yourself type shit.
Yeah, so. Facts, bro. Yeah, that's a good quote that I just saw on Instagram, and I was like, damn, I need to look into this. I wrote it right here. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. And I guess whoever said that is Leo Tolstoy. I'm not sure who that is. I've never heard of him, but I'm going to definitely, like, have to do some research on him. But
hell yeah.
It's just a that's an interesting quote that resonates with me. Because I've personally been trying to go through my own kind of change. It's crazy trying to transition myself from, you know, still have a part-time job and still try to do it, like make this my full-time thing though, because I just feel like whatever you working on, truthfully, is what you're gonna become, and whatever you continuously do, you know what I'm saying? Like compounding. Go ahead.
Nah, shit. I was just about to agree with you, bro. Just on like the hustling tip. Like,
yeah.
I can like attest to that shit, bro. Like it wasn't nothing but fucking 6 months ago, bro. While I was still taking the bus downtown and shit, working that security job at the front desk, 16-hour shifts, damn near type shit.
And them be wearing you out.
Yeah, bro. But still, at least, bro, working them shifts, bro, and afterwards having them late night studio sessions. Because when the fuck else I'm getting shit?
Yeah, for sure. Like,
you right, bro. What you working on? You come, bro. And shit, it's like a leap of faith. It's like universe, God responds. So you find yourself doing that shit every day, bro. You'll become it forever.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm trying to work on, bro. It's consistency. You know, I feel like
name of the game.
I feel like I lack consistency and creativity sometimes. But then again, like I'm executing it. You know what I'm saying? But I also want to start thinking more on like how am I gonna put this together, this, that, and the other. Like entrepreneurship, bro, is crazy. You feel me? Creativity is crazy.
Fact. You should allow yourself time that, bro. Not to just keep like.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Should allow yourself that time in between. To like, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? Because it kind of feel like you don't got no direction or like what your next step is, bro. But no great ideas was really like. A lot of your great ideas, even when you think of them on the spot, bro. Think about how long it took you to, like, bring it into fruition, bro. Yeah. So you should allow yourself time in between, bro. You never like. It's not like. Being lost and no shit like that, bro. It's just the next great idea, bro. Just need some living.
Bro, just how you be talking to me, I really can.
Bro, I be talking to myself, bro, because I relate, bro. That's the relativity speaking for real, to be honest. Yeah, nothing more than that, bro.
I was going to say, like, I can really sense your poetic nature, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you, like, I can just feel that energy. You know what I'm saying? How did poetry come about, bro? Like which came before? You feel me? Like
poetry, bro. Poetry came before. Well, I mean, I was around music my whole life, bro. My pops rap, so. But even still, bro. Like when I first started writing, bro, it was like poetry, and it was because I had this critical thinking teacher, bro. Like first grade, black woman, and
that's me.
Are you straight? And we was doing a writing exercise in class. She was like, "We gonna write poetry today." And I wrote a poem, and she told me to stay after class. And I thought I was in trouble or some shit, but she was just praising the poem. And you know, kids, when you get praised for something, you keep doing it. Shit,
yeah,
you
want to
keep feeling that praise, bro. So I kept doing it. But again, like on the other flip side of that, my pops was taking me to the studio and shit any other time I had to spend with him. So they kind of just.
He was a recording artist himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Did he drop any projects that you liked? You know, any
my pops, my
you
favorite
remember?
Rapper for a minute.
Bro. Yeah, for sure. You're not like, just saying that.
Nah, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't. Nah. He inspired me shit to keep rapping shit. You know what I'm saying? I still know some of his music and shit. We still talk. He still make beats and shit, bro. Like, you feel me?
For real?
Yeah, he love it, bro. He ain't gonna never stop and shit. So he love it, bro. Who am I to tell the man to stop? So.
Do you feel like he vicariously lives life through you now?
That's a good conversation, bro. Like, and I guess sometimes, bro, sometimes you can feel like that, bro. But I'm just a respect of somebody's happiness, bro. No matter how he getting it, you know what I'm saying? He happy, so. And like I said, he still make his own, so he ain't never forced me to, you know what I'm saying, stand beside him in his journey. He respect my own, so how much vicariously is he living through me? You feel
yeah,
me?
So.
Yeah, he happy, so. It's just a respected thing. For him, man, you know, like, the same way my child, my legacy, I'm his legacy. So, he trying to be as close to it as fucking possible. So, yeah.
I was going to ask you, you know, like, what is, if you don't mind, what is the conversation of, like, him knowing that you're trying to do this music thing as well, you know, you got the daughter. So, I'm pretty sure he's keeping that in the forefront as well. Like, how I guess, like, what knowledge does he instill to you? Or how does he, really, I guess the question is, how does he feel about you even doing music?
like I said, bro, he love it, man. He happy. He really is happy seeing me doing that. So that's one thing. And our conversations, bro, they really are just, they, you know, this past year, they really starting to get some depth. You know what I'm saying? And most of the time, it was just some experience. Like I said, I saw him doing it. And he always been, like, in the arts and shit. Like, he danced. I danced when I was younger. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he played sports. I did, too. So a lot of the shit that I was into and did, you know what I'm saying, I saw him do it first. And it just so happens, not a lot of people are like, well, shit, that's a damn lie. There's mostly boys, you know what I'm saying, if they see their father enough, you know what I'm saying, no matter what he does, you kind of grow like a finding of it because that's who he is. Or that's because how people relate y'all to each other. Like,
right.
Oh, your pops played football, yeah, too. Your pops, right, made music, too, some shit like that. So I'm 26 now, and he can see that I actually love this. Like, I ain't doing this just because he doing it. You feel what I'm saying? So he got a respect for it for that. And then when we talk in the conversations, bro, most of the time, bro, we just have, I learned from him, like I said, from experience. It was before he could even, before we even had those talks. Most of it was just from experience. Like, watching him be, like I said, that's how I got dragged to the studio. Like, my nigga, it's your turn to get the kids today. You know what I'm saying? Type shit. My sister really never wanted to go, type shit. For some reason, you know what I'm saying? Like, my older brother was never there either. But I'm always there. I'm always the one that found myself there and shit. So I seen many studios before. So most of them just from experience and shit. Like, I take my daughter to the studio and shit. That's how you see, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess from his side, it was like, my kids got to be with me to see what I'm doing. So, like, that's the only way to, like, challenge a, not challenge, but to hold your own narrative as a father. Like, you know what I mean? Your kids have to see what you have going on. Like, they have to see it. Like, it's only, so yeah.
Why do they have to see though?
Like, anybody got to see. How else do we learn from each other? Like, we say a bunch of shit, but nobody gives a fuck unless you're doing it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, excuse my language, but like, yeah, no, nobody gives a fuck unless you're doing it. Like, you put so many shit, like, I love books, right? But I know the book I'm reading don't mean shit if I'm not, or if that person probably ain't talking from experience. So, like, or just anything. So, you ain't too much, like, there's no really weight to anything nobody says, bro, if they don't have no action between it. So, like, but most people are visual learners. It doesn't matter what type of student you was at school. The real world really is, like, you're a visual learner. Everything you see is, like, what you initially do. That shit, I guess that's why it's important to change your perspective and watch who you're around and all that shit. So, yeah, bro.
Yeah, for sure. That's real. That's real. So, speaking of which, man, it's, this platform is about music, so I definitely want to, like, touch into that. I hope you don't mind me.
Ready, bro.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind me, like, diving in, though. You feel me?
Yeah, bro, for sure. Talk about it.
Yeah, man. Cashville Alien, I have to say, was, speaking of which, that's one of his, is that your first EP?
Very first one.
And which I understand it just had an anniversary as well.
Yep, August, yeah, man.
So
August.
Congratulations. 8th.
Thank you.
What's it like, man? What can you recollect from that project? Then I'll tell you, like, my most favorite part about it.
Anything?
Yeah.
Anything. Shit, man. Well, one, like I said, I was in that stage of, like, I was still going. I was working security and shit. Working on the music. By this time, I obviously decided to, like, all right, I'm gonna do it seriously. So I had to start pinning the project, one that I'm still working on, obviously. And in that time, Cashville Alien kind of popped in my mind. And, I mean, I don't really talk about it a lot, but the title is damn near, like, it's satirical in a sense where it's, like, I mean, it's alien type shit, and people are like, do you believe in aliens,
yeah,
type shit? But
so,
it was just feeling like alienated. Like, the inspiration behind the project was like feeling alienated, bro, in the already small alienated space that you in. Like, niggas grew up in the projects and shit out east, so just even when I moved out of the projects, we were still out east or out south, and them small areas, bro, of like the same kind of like minded. No, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to my people, but most of that area is like-minded shit because it's the same shit going on. So, like, when you got friends or family
meaning, members, like, people fucking off and shit like that, that type of stuff?
Well, I mean, just survival shit, bro. Most people thinking on survival, so they ain't really too much thinking about no creative shit. And if they are, you don't see those aspects of people because that shit, like, you, I mean, in our culture, in our school, they was making fun of niggas for reading and shit. Like, you
know, yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, you feel right. What I'm saying? So, it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying, taboo or whatever, like, niggas was looking at you weird most of the time. If you was the creative nigga or the smart nigga or the nigga that had like some big ass goals and visions. But luckily for me, I had, you know what I'm saying, close friends who was on the same type of shit. But again, bro, the project came because I was reflecting on that time period real heavy. Just to try to get past some things. And I just realized like it was damn near like a superpower. So I had to embrace that shit for the project. Wrote them. Every song on there, it was, I only made six. They all made it. It wasn't being made like a longer project. Put all six on there, bro. And once we actually finished the like 70% of the project in one night. Me and the homie Coleman. Shout out to Coleman because we stayed up for 12 fucking hours over the night.
Locked in,
bro. Yeah. I had them all written. Came in. We laid them down. And they all kind of worked out, bro. My homie Neek drew the cover. Shout out to Neek, and then Kelsey, my manager, good friend, bro. She helped me put together like rollouts and shows and shit before they had my first show before I put out the EP. So I got to do like a little small, like performing the songs and then telling people to be on the lookout type shit for those. Around that time, bro, it was just like, it was my first, I feel like it was one of my first, like, alright, I'm a toss this dart, see what the fuck I can hit. You feel what I'm saying? Because I was really operating off like blind faith at the time, for sure. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what people was gonna think of the project. I didn't know how people was gonna respond. I had people liking music before that, but it was my first body of work, so it was a whole different process. The night it dropped, my nigga sweating. Yeah, like
I can imagine. Yeah.
Like, I was like, it was one of those like, oh shit. You really put out a project, bro. And I didn't want to listen to it the first day that everybody else was listening to it. Even though I had been listening to it for weeks.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
So.
And like when people was experiencing the shit, bro, it was hard for me to like take it in at first. It took a week for me to like actually just soak in what happened, bro.
Yeah.
It was a range of emotions, bro. I'm much more I learned from the experience. I'm much more confident in the experience of giving any part of myself to the world then. Because I had never done that before.
So yeah.
Just to reflect on that. That was a good question.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good example of vulnerability. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Like, putting your creativity for it to be judged out there. I think those are things I think about as well. Like, you know, I tend to overthink about what people think. But at the end of the day, bro, I'm starting to realize, bro, just do what I want to do. And facts. Make sure I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Bro.
That's for real, for real.
Bro, like, it's a, you know, yes. That's a mindset you got to keep, bro. Yeah. Like, especially doing what you're doing. Because your life is vulnerability when you create. You ain't too much. Who you are is transparent and vulnerability. It ain't too much you do as a creative that's not enticed in that. Even if you think you doing something else, bro. That's vulnerability. So, yeah, you got to be in touch with that all the time, bro. Literally. You got to keep growing it.
How has your message changed from Eastside Ego to your more up-to-date music currently?
That's a good question because it has, bro. It's been more, honest to God, true, bro. Like, when I wrote Eastside Ego, like, that was...
Which is my favorite song. Listen to that shit every day, bro.
Appreciate it, bro.
We're going to preview it, but go ahead.
Yeah, bro. I knew when I wrote that song, bro, I was talking from ego.
Yeah.
Bro. You feel me?
And so...
It was talking from the sense of, like, the validation that I so longed for. I was just, like, shedding the need of wanting that. You feel what I'm saying? But even still, my ego was strong. It was coming out of it of like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I probably watch you type shit. So writing Eastside Ego was like, yeah, bro, it was like, it was just channeling those emotions type shit, bro. Hopefully that answered the question type shit.
Nah, you good.
You be answering the question. You be asking the question to take me back, bro. Because it'd be a lot of
that's
these.
That's what I like,
that
though,
bro. It take me back, you know, bro. It's just like, bro, I remember penning that fucking song, bro. So I was like, I just like myself writing that
little
song.
Little nostalgia.
Bro. I don't think I smiled one time right
now,
motherfucker.
Hey, my bad.
Pause one second. Bro, like,
hey,
but
hey,
that's the crazy
that's real
part
though.
About, like, yeah, bro, that's the crazy part about, like, the music, bro, because, like, that was the, that's fucking funny as fuck, man.
That's shit, hilarious. My bad, bro, damn.
Nah, bro, you can hear it in the song,
yeah,
though,
you can,
bro.
Though. Like, hey, let's play it. Let's play it so they can hear. This is Eastside Ego. This is one of my favorite songs, bro. Shout out to Ron Abbas. This is Higher Frequencies.
Appreciate it.
That nigga said, I ain't smell one.
I was thinking that song so focused, bro. Call that shit my shoddy flow. And then at the beginning, bro, I was like, call this shit my shoddy flow. Because that was my post rap, man.
For real?
Yeah, people, I never talk about that. It's funny. I did it all in my past life. About to double up on fate, though I'm running late. Still back to set the record straight. Too much sauce, they say. Never give it away. What you supposed to give when it runneth over your plate? Never worry about another nigga noticing I'm great. Too much space, I don't need them handshakes. They come with fake knives, dare I say. I'm really the best nigga rapping. Fuck the folk you be asking. Who you think that bring hope? With plenty dope, you be gassing.
Who did this beat, bro? Black novelist who pen and cast. For real?
Anything I wrote like Alaska, coldest flow. Everything you quote, leave your lips tapped. The code is 16, just a habit. Anything you stole, you can have it. I got 1,000 words for your cat. Picture this. Nigga tell it.
Yeah, that shit going in for real, for that shit crazy. We gonna preview a little bit more of that a little bit later. But yeah, bro, that's personally one of my favorite songs. I think that is the first song I ever heard by you. That's so that I think that was a good
introduction to
facts. That's a wild it is. And then, like, I listen to Mo Luxury all the time.
All right, bro. Shout out to Brody Jody.
For
bro.
Sure.
New code, yeah.
Good raps. The recent video was crispy.
Good raps, too.
Yeah.
Appreciate that,
bro. Re-raps, too. I can really tell you guys really take your time with the creative aspect of how y'all trying to brand yourselves and things like that.
Yes, sir, bro. Grateful to be around a bunch of individuals, bro, who respect quality. So even if I'm trying to settle for something smaller than whatever idea I got, bro, and I got some big ass ideas. So even if they think I can think bigger, bro, I'm around a bunch of people who like, this could be more bigger than that. And then when it comes to videos, bro, honestly and truthfully, bro, Sick, bro, fucking genius.
Shout out,
bro. Yeah, Sick, Young Sick is a fucking genius. And then Hav, bro. Hav is the one who shot good raps, too, bro. That's the homie. He from North Carolina. He young, too, bro. So, ain't another genius, bro. So, just shout out to them, really, bro, for taking my words, bro, and bringing them to life like that, bro.
So, yeah. Did you always know you wanted to do music growing up?
Yes, but I didn't think it was on. I didn't think it would be music first, if I can be correct. I thought at one point it was like, I'm going to make the league, then rap.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I'ma write books and then rap. Music was never like it didn't become like the forethought, like was the first thought, bro, until I left school and I came back home, and then I was writing at that point. Like I was writing every fucking day at that point, but still hadn't recorded shit yet. And then on the lowest of keys, not telling nobody, I started recording my pops and shit. Mm. And then I started liking my voice and shit. So that's when I was like, okay, yeah, I can rap.
When did you actually start getting, like, super lyrical? Because I know it's a process, you know what I'm saying?
It always started like that. Because,
really?
Like, you know,
okay.
Now, like, even, like, they probably wasn't as complex, like the similes and shit, but I was always talking about how I felt. So, like, it wasn't, like, it wasn't too far off back then. Like, back then, if I was feeling some way about, like, some shit that was going on at home or some shit like that, I was writing about it. And I was rapping about it. So it wasn't that too far off. The lyricism gets better, though, over time. The storytelling and shit gets better over time because you work at it, you practice, you read more, you study more artists and shit like that. So it become more. There's some technicality to in lyricism and storytelling and shit, too. Like, I mean, some p- people would say, like, the listener would be like, oh, he's a natural born, like, storyteller. But, like, the art of it is all, like, you having a technical work at it and shit, working at the lyricism and storytelling. Yep.
Yeah, so when you say you went to the league, you know, you played football in high school.
And basketball,
yeah. And basketball.
Football and basketball, yeah.
Okay. And was you any good?
Yeah, bro.
For sure. Yeah. Enough to, what, you got recruited, right?
Yeah, I went to school, bro, D2 school, bro, Southern Virginia University. That shit felt like fucking Hogwarts type shit. Yeah, it wasn't my place to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, shit, I got recruited by some schools, home to MTSU, TSU. I just chose that shit because I just...
wanted to get away from home?
Yep.
I feel it. What was that experience like when you had left from home? You know, did you...
Let me clear that up for people to get the... I got recruited for just football for TSU, MTSU. For niggas
okay.
Be like, bro, you got recruited for basketball?
Yeah, for sure.
Clear it up because niggas will try to...
For sure.
My homies will see this interview and be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, for sure. Appreciate that clarity.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, what did you learn while you was gone?
What I wanted to do. What I wanted to do in my life, bro, no matter how much it fucking took. Even though it was an abyss, bro. Like that was like the lowest point of my life. Like I thought I was getting away from home, bro, to get a fresh start, to get it like away from like shit. I thought it was gonna be the best time of my life. No. I'm saying it was like, it got low, quick, feel me? So the only thing you can do at that time, bro, is whatever keep you happy, bro. And that was right. So like, but again, that was my time of like reflection on that. Like I got to think about a whole lot of shit. I ain't have no friends up there for real. No family shit. I'm 8 hours away from home, so I can't go home on a weekend type shit. So I spent most of my time by myself. For a full year, I spent a lot of time by myself. So you can only imagine what's like self-reflection, deep self-reflection.
For sure.
Only can talk to yourself for a year can do for you. And, I mean, even though it obviously, like I said, I was in a low point and came back home in a low point, everyday type shit, thinking about it was like, nah. I figured out what I wanted to do while I was there playing football shit. So yeah,
but you a Titans fan?
Yes, yeah, yes I am, bro. Yep.
Man, when I was a Titans fan, I kind of jumped ship a long time ago when I moved to Atlanta. But when I was a Titans fan, them Eric McNair days, Eddie George, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
bro,
my bad.
Now you good? That's some of the best memories I had. You know what I'm saying? Like where we from.
Facts.
And like what the culture used to be like here.
I wasn't even a Titans fan at first.
Who was you rocking with?
I was a Colts fan at first. I was a Peyton
Manning
fan, bro. And
but that's because is that because you were a fan of the Vols?
Yes.
You grew up watching them?
Yeah.
Yeah, likewise.
So like, but I became like a crazy Titans fan because when I was going to Martha O'Brien Center, bro, like the Titans players started coming up there and shit. So just like, oh, these niggas coming to they coming here to talk to us and shit, bro. I fuck with
okay.
them.
So yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Javon Curse, Steve McNair came up there and shit, bro. Samari Rowe, Andre Dyson.
I just thought about like, you know, where you from and just I guess I'm just trying to paint a picture of like what the city used to be like, you know what I'm saying? I guess cause like you kinda can't hear the music from a Nashville perspective, but you diversify yourself with like lyricism. I feel like your beat selections be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? Here in Nashville, we don't really like kind of have a sound.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just able to slide yourself in the mix. You feel me?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say easily slide myself in the mix. I think. I got asked about this in an interview, and they was basically like, what is, like, Nashville sound? Like, how does, like, Nashville, like, see themselves? And I was like, bro, I mean, like, not to be cliche, but, like, I think our sound is quality. Like, I think it's hard to win over people in Nashville, like, just for the simple fact of, like, they mostly feel like what they're going to get from people is the same. Or they're forced into, like, cultures of, like, liking people from where they from or that they homies from. No disrespect to anybody that who's been making music, but that's, like, that's our music culture. It ain't like it ain't like Atlanta, bro. Like Atlanta, I know like a lot of people be like, you know, try to be like Atlanta. Atlanta damn near got like a, it's not an advantage, but they have so many black people there. So like their cultures can be subcultures. Their cultures can take over mainstream of music because the more the people, the more you have like a controlled way of like keeping your, like they got they whole city cater to black people because it's majority black people. So right. You got black venues, you got black places to eat, you got like all of those play huge parts in music culture. So when you, okay, take it back to Nashville, the reason why I think it's hard to win over people here, bro, because we don't have like a, like, it's not that we don't have a sound, bro. We don't have a consistent culture. We don't have a consistent music culture. It's been building over time. You can say names, of course. You can pull local names. But I guess when people say that, it's like who transcended like into bigger audiences outside of Nashville. So we don't really have a culture to hold a sound.
Right.
So I guess to get back to that point is like, I don't think it's easy for anybody, bro. I think because there's so much quality out here, when I go record or try to drop music, it's like, for myself, and because I know the people that I respect as peers and other people who make music, bro, because of the culture that we have now, bro, it's like quality. Like, I know majority of the creators that I have came in contact with in these past 2-3 years, bro, the consistent conversation is quality. How can we make this better? How can we keep people paying attention to this? How can we keep people listening? So I think that's a sound. Personally, I think quality is a sound because I don't think everything out here is quality. I don't even think everything on mainstream is quality. So I think quality is a sound. So when you talk about like my sound, beat selection, whatever sound like quality to me, my sound itself, like I think I'm always trying to figure out how it is I can make my sound the best quality. Cause I'm influenced by damn near everything. So it's not like I like want to make a specific sound. Like, or the only thing I can think of, like, I mean shit, Kendrick Lamar was talking about this like in the Rick Rubin interview. Like he's trying to make the best. To him, he's trying to make the best song that he can possibly make, like in front of himself at the time. And it starts here and then it's here. And then it's like, so whatever beat sound like the craziest beat I can find, whatever lyrics are the craziest that I pin, and then just go from there, bro.
Man, speaking of which, you dropped a sneak peek of the. So what's the song title?
Bro, it's a.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, bro. Okay, so. I laid that shit. So I posted a song. I posted a verse today. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I posted a verse today. And it was just like a Lucy type shit, but I recorded it yesterday.
Literally,
yeah, nah,
fresh just, out the stew.
Yeah, that song not even finished, so I'm sorry if I.
Nah, it's cool. I kind of like that. I like that marketing aspect because I kind of do that too. I throw snippets out there to see what resonate with people, so I know to double back with them on the marketing. You know what I'm saying? Is that a strategy that you kind of like want to like implement or? If it's not,
Yeah, you always want people like. I'm not Kendrick Lamar, bro, so I can't take no 3-year hiatus, bro, and expect people to still be like, "Where's Ron?" Nah, you feel right. me? You gotta earn that. Yeah. So like, so,
that's true.
You try to find the most efficient way to grab eyes, bro. That's within yourself as you possibly can. So with that verse, which I rarely do, I recorded it yesterday, and it was one of my favorite verses that I written. I've listened to that one verse, bro, probably like 50 times since I recorded yesterday. So I just decided to share it. That's all. Because I didn't finish the song. And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, so. It sounded crazy, though. I can't wait till that drops. Yeah.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So let's kind of like walk me through, you know, the return back from home from college. And then you start like really getting active with this music. From the time you came back home, how long did it take you to drop Cashville Alien?
I dropped Cashville Alien when I was 20. Five. So okay. 4 years. No, 6 years. I'm tripping. I had my daughter when I was 21.
Okay.
So that tell you how long it took for me to like.
Yeah, it takes time though. Yep. I'm sure it does. Everything that you did in college, like lead college and that time in between, is that what we hear in Cashville Alien? Like those lyrics, that penmanship, or nah?
You mean like this, like
just the songs,
the emotions, yeah, or like when did I write them at the time?
Right.
No. They was all those songs got wrote like in that month that I dropped Cash. Well, that we made it. We made Cashville Alien the month before, and then we dropped it the next month. But but I was reflecting a whole lot. Towards the back end, it's only six songs on there, but like a lot of things that I was coming into, like, you know what I'm saying, thoughts of or knowledge of was definitely put in that project. It's put in all of that shit, but towards the back end of the project, I was definitely talking from like emotions or thoughts or shit that I probably harbored and came up with when I was in college. Hell yeah.
Is that out of all the EPs or albums, or I'm not sure like how you title them, which has been your favorite, and which ones have you gotten kind of like the most recognition on, in your opinion?
I think my favorite project is probably Notes on a Scale 2. I know it's the latest one I put out, but I guess it's what's happening all around it. My little one was in there the night we wrapped that project up. Ever since the project came out, some new shit every day that kind of let me know I'm going in the right direction comes across my face, you know what I'm saying? Blessings and shit, bro. So it's got to be Notes on a Scale 2 because, like, you know, a lot of people say, well, shit, most projects that are my favorite, most things are my favorite are not just the favorite because of the music. It's because of the moment, whatever moment it created, whatever it inspired, bro. So Notes on a Scale 2, personally, that project for me, bro, is like just done a lot for me, bro, up here. There's a lot of self-reflection going on through those four songs. A lot of things afterwards just kind of assured me that I was doing a layer of my purpose, bro. So, yeah, Notes on a Scale 2 got to be.
Do you often get people reaching out like, man, collaboration, podcast, interviews, people want to like get up with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you pick and choose the ones that you want to like get on, or like the ones that are worth your time?
Intuition. Like most people, just like some people. Shit, I don't gotta talk about nobody, but a lot of people, bro, just don't deserve your time. It don't matter what level of life you on, bro. A lot of people just don't deserve your time, type shit. So, you gotta be careful with your energy, bro. Everybody just don't, you don't need to. I don't feel like you have to do every single opportunity, bro, that comes across your face. I personally don't feel like that, but I feel like every opportunity that comes across is like genuine. Like, it's just, you can feel it. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you reached out, bro, it wasn't like you was like, yo, I got this. Great opportunity, yeah, for you, bro, to like.
Right. Like, how, bro, like saucing it up and type shit.
Yeah. Nah, bro, you just hit me, bro, with just some real shit, bro. I got this platform, yeah, bro, and I just want to talk to you about what you got going on.
I'm at grassroots, humble beginnings, but I have a vision, bro, and I know I will execute. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Same, like, bro, for real. Not like I said, I have that discernment with you.
Facts,
you know
what I mean?
Like, literally. Go ahead.
Nah, I was just saying, like, but you know what I'm saying? To that note, bro, I try to do everything, bro. I try to link as with many people as I can, bro. Cause like I ain't just doing this just to do this shit by myself, bro. Like, don't matter how long you do this, bro. Like, you just grow a knack of like wanting to connect with people, bro. Cause like you never know what you can learn from somebody. You never know what somebody can learn from you. So I'm saying, like, camaraderie is a big thing of why I do this shit too, bro. Just think about how many people you get to meet. Y'all be sharing the same stories, same vision, shit. You find so many commonalities in this shit, bro. And a lot of people who do this shit, bro, they look like me, bro. So I mean,
what you mean, like, by how you dress and shit, or
nah? They black, bro. So yeah. It's, you know what I'm saying, it's like a lot of people who look like me. So just knowing that, bro, like, it's I ain't too closed off to people who look like me who trying to do the same shit or something relative to that, bro. Like, however I can help, I'ma help. I just don't overextend myself is what I was basically saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
As an independent artist, how do you find, like, or I guess like what would be, how do you prioritize the music and the release and things like that, doing it independently?
independent, bro, is like, from an outside perspective, bro, it's just a label, bro. Because nobody's doing this by themselves. Feel me? So to that point, I'm able to do this shit, bro. It's as much as I'm able to do it. Obviously, there's still work to do it as effectively as we want to do it. Because it ain't just an I. Like, there's a lot of pressure alleviated, bro, because I got a great ass team. I work with a lot of great ass people, bro. So there's a lot of things that, shout out to people, bro, who doing that shit by themselves for real, bro. Like, who really independent. Shout out to them people, bro, because, like, those people who able to do that by themselves, bro, and, like, execute as a high level, bro, they special. Because it's a lot of ideas that I have, bro, who are a lot bigger and better in people's eyes that a lot of people give me credit for. When I have people like Kelsey, who's my manager, bro, who's a beast, bro. Like, she's, like I said, she's a good friend, too. Like, and I've watched her grow. Like, the same way I've grown as an artist, bro, she's grown as a manager and friend. So, like, that's inspirational as hell. And then Third Eye, the label, bro. Like, I'm able to be independent, bro, because the four friends that went in on me were owning the label, so we can sign ourselves and be independent, bro. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
for
like,
sure.
And then the collective, Third Eye. I mean, everybody's not an owner, but everybody that's a part of the collective, bro, damn near treated like this theirs. So it's,
yeah,
not,
they're investing time.
You
into
feel
it,
me?
Right.
So it is theirs. Mm-hmm. It is theirs. So anything I do out here, bro, I definitely don't do it alone, bro. So I'm able to balance those releases. I'm able to balance the creativity and shit. And not everything is easy. That don't make shit easy, but you know what I'm saying, like. Doing those processes and shit, they're a lot easier than it was for me in the past when I was like independent, like for real, trying to get my music out there to just five people in Nashville type shit. That's a whole different process than it is now.
I remember when we were having a conversation, you were saying like winning people over with your creativity in Nashville, that's the real challenge.
Bro, it is. Like, and even though I feel like this is like one of the most, I could be biased, my nigga, but I think Nashville in itself, bro, has one of the craziest creative pools of, like, people I've ever seen, bro. And I mean that just from a sense of, like, nobody can see it, bro, because we're still growing that culture that's created by word to mouth type shit. But,
yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? But again, it's going to grow an authentic way, in a different way than everybody else, just because how our scene is, bro. Like, and it just... You have to be able to stand out. You have to be able to differentiate yourself, bro. Because if you're paying attention like I'm paying attention, bro, you know the people that you respect as peers and shit like that, bro, out here. And like, or just on the main street, shit that ain't from local, bro. The people that you aspire to be, they have done things to differentiate themselves from the next artist or creative type shit. And even if there's like some commonalities and shit, bro, it's something that sets that person apart from everybody else who got to this step than it is that step. So,
for sure. One last question before we preview some more music. How do you feel like you differentiate yourself?
That's a good question, bro. Just from like studying and shit, bro, I feel like I've like come into like a way to like actually make the music that I want to make, bro, and, like, literally embody that in a sense where, like, you can just tell that my music is just an extension of who I am as myself type shit. So, like, I think when I look at, like, branding and shit like that, bro, it becomes, like, it's, like, one, it's fun to do, and it's a lot more, like, tangible to do to differentiate yourself. Like, when we drop videos on Sundays, we call them, like, we branded it Supreme Sundays. Like, Supreme is, like, something that, like, well, one, Obasi, the name, it means honor of the Supreme God, which is self, which is, you know what I'm saying, turn, God and all that shit or whatever. But, so, like, to have something like Supreme Sundays to, like, differentiate yourself, bro, it's just, like, an extension of self. Like, all I do is just, like, show you more of who I am.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
That, if that makes sense.
For
like,
sure.
The more, without me trying so hard to be, like, hey, I'm different than everybody else. You'll just be a respecter of like, okay, that nigga doing it his way. He's saying what he want to say. He's saying it how he want to say it. He look how you want to look. And then, yeah, just the people respond. The people who fuck with you for what you do. Yeah, you're not going to win over everybody, but you know what I'm saying? Five is better than zero.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This is Sean Mike. This is an interview with Ron Obasi. This is Higher Frequencies. We're going to take a quick little break. Y'all enjoy the video next.
Go ahead. Yeah, when you got, yeah, ain't too many places you can't go without a mask on. So, but even when it comes to not the distancing and all of that shit part, like, it's society got you respecting on one end. So when you're moving on your own time, when you're being creative, when you link it with people and shit like that, bro, it's like, throw one of them prayers up, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Cause you,
I just be at least you out walking in purpose, bro. You out trying to do something, bro. So.
Bro, I just thought this. Yeah. I thought this was interesting. This patent application, that Bill Gates got going. We've seen it post online claiming that Bill Gates and Microsoft have a patent number. Yeah. Have you seen this? Yeah. Seen that? What you think about that? People are saying like it's the last days and things like that.
Don't let them put nothing in your body. That's what I think about it. I don't know what else. We could go in debt, but don't, nah. If it's anybody you shouldn't trust, it's billionaires putting something in your body like that, a chip. I mean, just off health reasons, not even on some conspiracy shit, bro. Think about people be getting whole transplants out here, bro, and they body be neglecting that shit, bro. And that's a whole nother bodily organ. So I just ain't, I don't know. Can't put no chip in me. I don't know how that's gonna work, but yeah. Nah, that shit weird though, bro. People saying it's last days and shit, bro, you know. Whether it's conspiracy or they quoting religion and all of that shit, bro. Like, ain't no. Nobody knows. So you can't live in fear. You
know what I'm saying? Mr. Ron Obasi, man, how you doing? This is Higher Frequencies. You be making me think, bro. For real.
I be fucking thinking.
Yeah.
And you ask questions that make me think, bro. Like, you feel me? So.
Tick for tack.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, like, as far as, like, the music, where are you at currently with, I know you said you're working on a live,
the live album.
Yeah.
It's a live project. Yeah.
How many songs can we expect?
Nine. There's nine songs on it. There's nine songs on there. Yep.
What can we expect that's going to be different from any project that you got out now?
Well, for starters, it's actual live instrumentation, bro. Like, I locked in with an actual band, and every single production on there, bro, they played. The recordings, obviously. There's a lot more raw emotion in there. There's not, like, a lot of, like... There's not like a lot of like energy towards making it the crispiest sound you can hear, more so than like actually keeping the rawest of like you feeling like you at a show watching me perform this type of feeling. So you can definitely expect something different than that. The rollout will be completely different. Shit, you can expect growth in all those different areas, bro. A lot more planning and shit like that. So, hell yeah.
That's what's up. I'm really personally looking forward to it. Just, I don't know, bro. Just like your vibe and your demeanor, bro. Really make me further want to indulge into, like, man, who is this guy? Like, let me see what the music talking about, things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it, bro. Yeah. Shit, yeah. I mean, it's all one and the same. Like I said, I would like for my life to feel like somebody, my music is just an extension of self, bro. Always. Like, I would love for that to always be the case when somebody comes across Ron Obasi, because at the end of the day, you know, the music is the music, right? And like I said, that's an extension of who I am. But if you don't respect the person, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to respect the music. I mean,
right.
In very rare cases is that the case, unless you are already on some like untouchable level that we've seen in our culture where people do some fucked up shit and people don't stop listening to it. But I don't want to be like that either. So I'm not perfect by no means. Shit, everybody not going to like me. But, yeah, I just try to be. The music just try to be an extension of itself. So.
What would you like to, because I really feel like you want to touch on, like, culture and things like that a little bit more. What would you like to see different amongst our community? Like, what changes would you implement?
More black create a space, and I mean black.
So,
you know, no disclaimer, fuck it. I don't mean the white owner that's got the venue that black people got to play to put on the display of their music. No, this our shit, so I would rather have somebody who owns more than just one venue in our fucking backyard, bro, that holds creative spaces for our culture, period. Not just music. I mean fashion, music, dancing, down to fucking graffiti, bro, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, we need more black spaces in our culture. And I think it's up to the creatives now to find some way to acquire those things, for sure.
How do we begin to, I mean, really, bro, I know the answer to it. It's just execution, action, you know.
Yeah. I mean, starting. Facts. And I guess even to go deeper with that, bro, it's like, would we just let the lack of defend, like, should we continue to let the lack of our venue, like, define, like, what a space is for us? Like, I see niggas still outside when we have barbecues. I see niggas still outside when we have football games. I see people put together a lot of shit outside, bro. And, like, I'm just thinking, like, if we really want to speed up the process, because I know I can tell people all the time, bro, like, stack your bread, pool the money, invest in the space, buy the building, and then you got a space type shit. Everybody's heard that. But I'm thinking more of, like, a renaissance approach. If a nigga got a stage and you got equipment and you know you got people who will come to some block party function, bro, like, I think an annual or, like, monthly thing of that, bro, could, like, especially in this climate, you know what I'm saying? I think that would definitely help
benefit
our culture.
People. Yeah, for sure. For sure. One thing I would like to see is just more black-owned businesses, bro. Like, you feel me? Just... And with me, since I want to see that, I have to be the change. Facts. I got to create that, bro. You know what I'm saying?
That's my approach to the renaissance and all of that shit. I mean, I know that word sounds crazy to use, but I definitely feel like we in one of those fucking
times.
What
does that mean? What does renaissance mean? Let's look it up. But what does it mean, though?
Let's look it up first.
Yeah, for sure.
I can just tell you how, like, I apply it.
Facts. Renaissance. The art, let's see. The culture and style of art and architecture developed during the Renaissance. Hold on. A revival of renewed interest in something.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you have the Harlem Renaissance, the Great Renaissance. All those periods, like, both those time periods was going on. It wasn't just the arts that was going around, like, at that time that made those periods Renaissance. It was the shit that was going on in the world, too. It was the transition of time. So, like, I look at, like, when I say Renaissance, I obviously mean, like, you can look at it like a capsule, like a time capsule of, like, what the fuck those people was doing during that time. What was they talking about? And most of the ways, the most effective ways that those things carry from that time, why they call it a Renaissance, is because of the arts and the literature and shit that was going on at that time. A lot of the shit we wouldn't know nothing about if people wasn't painting pictures of it, or if they wasn't writing songs of it type shit. So
historians.
You feel me? Like, those creatives are the real historians, bro. So when you, and literature is creative to me too, a writer, you know what I'm saying? So all writers out there, if you're hearing that, bro, you play a big part in history. So take your shit serious. Anyway, so I think that's what a Renaissance is to me. So to, like, apply it to now, I think shit for our scene culture, or, you know, our backyard, for us to Renaissance our shit or be a part of this Renaissance that's going on right now. Yeah, bro, we just have to be more energetic, open, and, like, there's a question that people always ask about our scene, bro, that I think they should change the perspective of, too, obviously. It's always, like, what has the scene done for me rather than what can I do for the scene? Because, like, naturally, if I'm like, I'll give you an example, like Kelsey, right? She's
Shout out to Kelsey.
Before she was my manager, bro, this is how I met Kelsey. She was her own money. She was putting together shows in North Carolina and Nashville and paying artists as well, helping them feel like what it means to get paid to do your own performances, putting on showcases and shit, bro, to show other people like these artists and shit. Yes, and that to me is like Kelsey, instead of Kelsey saying like, and those alike, you know what I'm saying? Instead of her saying like, damn, I wish we had more people who put together shows where I could see more black creators get their shit off. She was like, I'm just going to take my money and my time and my effort and put together a space like that. So I think every individual should take the responsibility and accountability for what this scene lacks. Thanks. If you see it lack something, create it. Like, and I know that that's the simplest way to put it. It's not that fucking simple, but if you striving for what you say you striving for, then that ain't simple either. So what the fuck is the difference than like helping the scene in turn that you feel like you want to help you?
Yeah, for sure. Since we last spoke, I'm glad you brought that up. Since we last spoke, you know, you put The Alchemist in my ear. You know,
shout out to The Alchemist.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I listened to the audio, and I had a question, bro. Like, where do you feel like if you could compare your journey to the boy? Where could you see yourself at along that journey right now? For those who haven't read it, I highly encourage you read that book. That's a really good book.
It's a great book. Changed Shout out to mindset. Santiago. He's the character that he's talking about in the Alchemist. Where could I compare myself? Damn, that's a good ass question, bro. Cause it changes. I think The Alchemist more is a representative of like stages, like not like how every stage is like the situations change, but like when I think about what The Alchemist is like really saying, like it's like a constant like learning, growing internal effort of like changing my perception to like mastering what's in front of me, going on my journey type shit. I'm going to answer the question. I'm just trying to
like, you good.
Put you in the picture. Yeah,
for sure. I like it. I like it.
Obviously, like Santiago in the book, it talks about how he left from being like, you know what I'm saying, a shepherd. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Told his pops he was going on a journey, basically to like find himself type shit. So like, my nigga, next month I could feel like that little boy who just now left to go find a new purpose, a new journey. I think people probably only understand that if they were to read the book, if that's what I'm saying type shit. So that's why I didn't really want to get that answer. But if I could pinpoint one, bro, like it's probably, damn, bro, that's a good ass, bro. When he became stationary, like in the village, when he was building his riches, when he first started to learn, like, how to, like, you know what I'm saying, save and all that shit. Like, he got a mentor. Like, when he went on his journey, he got a mentor, and the mentor was showing him a whole different way of, like, becoming somebody type shit. A lot of people in the village was growing fond of him because he was showing more of himself. He was doing great deeds and all of that shit. So I definitely feel like I'm at that point, bro. A lot of people are starting to like, cause I'm finding out really who I am. So I know a lot of other people are type shit too, but
yeah, absolutely.
The response is like, you know what I'm saying? It's self-acceptance, mirroring everybody else accepting you type shit. So there's a big key point about that in the book where he finds himself like stationary in the village where like he becomes somebody and then he goes on another journey again from that place. So, but right now I feel like not stationary in the sense of like complacency. I'm learning something from this stage. Like I'm in a village, you know what I'm saying? The city feel like that even though I was born and raised here. You know what I'm saying? This is new territory for me. So I feel like a lot of people like embracing me. I'm embracing a lot of other people and I'm just growing, bro. So
For sure, for sure. Let's change gears, man. Let's preview some of this music. This is Higher Frequencies. Got your, boy Rondo Bossy. I really appreciate you coming through.
Appreciate you, bro.
Eastside Ego, obviously one of my favorite songs. We just heard that early in the episode, but let's play another one real quick. That Dreamer Season.
Dreamer Season. Yeah.
Bitch said how you a rapping, you still at your job. Cause when you know your destiny, you work that shit with no pride. Gun fired off, I know a nigga got a slow start. But it's about how you finish. Now bitch take my card and say 615, the best rapper alive. Why you still on my line? Your nigga still in my lines. It's okay, it's no shame. It's all flattering to me. Bro calling me the GOAT. Seem accurate to me, but never mind that. The best shit is yet to come. And they don't know what manifests. They think you gapping at your gums. Power in the tongue. I know so many empty, sitting still trapped inside a slump. So please don't be alone when I rap like I'm the one. This nigga, I'm the one. Told my shit get a crib. Told bro I get a deal. Told sis my niece good when a nigga get a meal.
Hey, y'all gotta tap into that video too, though. That video is special, bro. Like how y'all put the camera. You said it was an iPhone too, right?
Bro, Sec. Yeah, Sec. iPhone to the ceiling.
Shout out to Sec, man. Bro, dude, like, got a he has a creative mind.
Bro, for sure. out of box, bro. Like, cause we got there. Shout out to my homie Omar. He let us shoot at an apartment where I used to work. You know what I'm saying? I used to work in that building. I was the security downstairs.
Yeah, for sure.
And me and Omar became close friends, bro, because he used to let me crash on his couch, bro, after them late-ass fucking shifts where I had to be right back up at 6 a.m. He used to let me shower and shit, eat breakfast and everything at his crib, go right back down to work. But fast forward time, we shot Dreamer Season in his apartment because that's where I wrote the song,
yeah,
on that same fucking couch that we was sitting on.
Right.
Got in that bitch and he had his camera. He brought his camera, his actual fucking camera, like prepared DSLR, to shoot that. Yeah. And he thought he was going to be able to, like, hang it from the ceiling. Didn't happen. But he had that brand new iPhone, so he was like, I'm finna tape this bitch, bro. We just going to shoot it like this. And he was like, just hope for the best.
Yeah, make sure y'all check out that. Y'all make sure y'all check out that video. That shit going crazy. Let's preview this next song real quick. Oh, this is the one you talk about all the time. I got to add this one. You talk about this one all the time, bro. That's how I came in, too.
The beat, you feel me? Nigga there, they love me, Maybe Jesus wasn't perfect. When a great man dies, he elevated by his stories. They challenging God's word, I'm just speaking metaphor. You do right by your people, they carry your name for you. Like, when he killed the blind, he helped them see that they was worth it. Sickness and disease, curing the discouraged, bro. Niggas to his table, kept them fed, gave them clothing. Knowing they would betray him, still standing in his purpose. Like,
yeah, that one going in crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Let's preview this next song real quick. I like the video of this one too.
Shout out Sick.
Okay, I found it. Good raps. Take. Hold my head high till my neck breaking loose. Ducking mind taps, never was a goose. Oh, a bird, I could fly away from earth. The flyest nigga you know, the highest nigga you know. Think I'm God sent, dog sick.
And in the video, like, he had like multiple shots of you in there. Yeah.
Make it magic.
Go ahead.
Shot that video in an hour and a half, bro.
For real?
Had it back to me that night. Trying to turn my gas off, but I'm the villain in my own story. The creator and the ender to my adversaries. You can break my mind down to every single cell and fragment. Couldn't mimic shit that I've imagined. I have no pattern. Unpredictable, I'm the prime example. I've been here before, I can tell you how it happened. My past sins and my past actions. See this new life I'm adapting. I know you living backwards.
ain't about that bullshit. I'm never in a rush to join the conversation or compare no placements. Ain't no nigga like me, no congruence. I can name the time and dates that I've influenced. Set front line from revolutions, even told Jesus about Judas.
That's my favorite line right there. Yeah, that's my favorite line. Yeah, man, like, bro, like, your music is just immaculate, bro, for real, for real. It's just, I'm thankful that you even just receptive, even sitting down next to me, bro, for real, for real.
Thank you, bro.
Like, yeah, not to be on no fanboy shit or anything, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
respect is respect, bro. Thank you. I got the same respect for your platform, bro. So it's mutual, for sure, yeah.
So I appreciate that. You feel like, last question, and then I want to switch gears, but do you feel like platforms like this, it just can't just be me out here doing it? I feel like it needs
to be. It can't. Like, yeah, and I feel like anybody who doing something like this, bro, should want more people to do it. You feel what I'm saying? And just from a sense of how it grows what you're doing. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I wouldn't want to be the only nigga.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't want to be the only nigga out here who trying to do better for the city. So, yeah, it's the same approach.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I wanted to play this soundbite. I asked you about the interview earlier, and I listened to a few of his interviews, and this I took a soundbite, and I just think it'll resonate. I just wanted your input on what J. Cole has said in this interview. Take a listen.
For sure. Because the society we live in.
Yeah, yeah.
We live in this system, and that's why I was trying to say earlier, it all comes down to this system. Anybody would do, for the most part, anything for the money. And I don't just mean people that's pimping themselves out on TV or even really just, you know, selling their bodies. I'm talking about people that go to a job every day that they hate. You sold out too. Yeah. We all sellouts. You selling out. You're going to something that you don't like. Why? So you can live and survive. Life don't feel like it's supposed to be like that no more. You know what I mean? It don't feel right. It don't feel like somebody's time gotta be worth more than $8 an hour. Yeah. You spend your whole day going to work. Mm-hmm. 8 hours out of your day. Day is only 24 hours. You're going to sleep 8 of those. So right away, that's 16 hours. Gone. Half of your day is making $8 an hour, even if you get 15 an hour, and they're trying to raise minimum wage.
What's your thoughts? Because we kind of touched on something like that earlier in this conversation.
Yeah. He was ahead of his time, or ahead of, like, the curve, because I think if what's going on outside right now, like our present day with Corona and all of that shit, if it hasn't showed you anything, it's that. It's what capitalism and society has turned people into fucking robots. So when all these people, these new unemployed people, or these people who got to go back to their jobs, all of that self-reflection that you had to do, that you was like masking from yourself, and wasn't no new TV to watch and no show. It was a bunch of shit going on. So, like, you didn't have nothing to do but, like, reflect the fact to yourself that, like, you was probably living a life that 9 times out of 10 you was living based off survival and you really don't fucking like it. Now, on the flip side of that, because of how strong this fucked up society is and, like, capitalism is, there are a lot of people who thought their purpose was, like, to assimilate themselves in, like, the society and shit. So a lot of their jobs that they lost, they kind of, like, feel like they lost identity and shit like that too, because they were so, like, fucking cosplayed in this society where, like, you got kids. Like, I talk to my little girl all the time, bro, and it's crazy how, like, consistent shit is, right? So, like, I know when I was young all the time in my school and shit, you ask some young person what they want to be all the time. They say, like, maybe 5 different things. Doctor, policeman, teacher, a fireman, or an astronaut, right?
You feel like they say that because they think that's what it can be the most successful?
That's like, it's almost like, it just shows you the consistency of, like, what this society really is. Mm-hmm. It's not teaching people to be individuals or, like, actually be who the fuck you really want to be. Like, and it, like, you, that's what he was, I feel like when he was saying, like, selling your soul, I do feel like it's a sense of selling your soul. Every day you going to work to a job that you fucking hate, like, you hate it, bro. Like, it damn near make you sick to your stomach. You got to go to this job every day. But can you quit? No. You probably got responsibilities. You ain't.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And then you think about, like he said, when you 8 hours you spend at your job, and then you come home, and you spend 8 hours trying to catch up on shit you feel like you missed, because that's what naturally humans do. You try to connect with something. You tired from work, so you really ain't connecting with nobody. You probably connecting with, I mean, we young, but I ain't talking about us type shit. I'm talking about people who in their 30s type shit, who America really like be crumbling over type shit. So if you look at their lives, they gonna spend it watching the TV. They gonna spend it soaking in the news outlets and shit like that, bro. So like basically what he was saying is like the society so fucking built on like that robotic. It's robotic culture. But again, to what I was saying, we was talking about it earlier because I feel like the corona might have been like the most uncontrollable natural thing, this pandemic that we've ever seen in our lifetimes, that like in the flash of an eye, that whole reality was gone. Like you ain't going back to work. You know what I'm saying? So even if the government is sending you these checks or whatever, you still spending your time trying to do something else. Now other people took that time, and I'm not telling nobody what they should have been doing during this time. Other people took that time and was like, oh fuck, this what it feels like to be doing what the fuck I want to do and like have the time to do it, be happy, self-reflect, be able to actually give some time to myself, self-care and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Because the society that we had before, that's why I kind of feel like the pandemic was like one of the first waves of things that is going to do that, because like change is inevitable. You know what I'm saying? So our culture got to find something to be on the flip side of this robotic one that it's been for a long time. That's what he was saying. He feel like it ain't supposed to be like no more. Because you think about how many people out here depressed, killing themselves or harming others, or nothing like that can last that long. You feel what I'm saying? I know it's been lasting for hundreds of years type shit, but it's got to end one day.
You feel me? Facts. Yeah. Man, this has been Ron Obasi, man. I really appreciate you just coming down to the platform and showing love, man.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Did you have like a rap or a poetry piece that you wanted to perform for us today?
I might. Okay. Let me try to get some shit off.
Yeah, man, for sure. Hey, because I know it's like you always want just your voice to be heard instead of like over instrumental when you kind of like doing your freestyles. Is there a reason?
Yeah, I mean, shit, just to be more clear, like, my freestyles and shit, bro, I would just like for a nigga to hear what I got to say going on, like.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just hope, keeping that, like, prideful part about being a lyricist type shit. You get your bars off, you want niggas to hear that shit, you don't really give a fuck about no hook, so you just put that shit out there like
for
that.
For sure.
Yeah, man, I might have some bars, bro. Try to get it off.
Go ahead, man, let's get it.
If I fuck up, we ain't putting this in there. Back at the laundromat in Casey, before this mission to greatness, $5 for the candy lady, thought I made it. Jean shorts and my dirty sneakers, observing polices in summer heat, bringing strife. They mischievous, but never on time when people needing them. Niggas evil, bruh. Hard head, make a soft ass, that was our media. Make it all to make the media. Proper ingredients for the robbers and needy, cuz this property got niggas devious. Pops on the block, we get our... Pops on the block, we get our wisdom from the junkies and the old school dropout flunkies. At every turn, you gon' learn. But some things are better off not soaking up. Fuck it, survival mode for the outside, holding in the outcries. Count how many times we look back and said good times. Broken-hearted guys from the trench. Comparison a thief of joy, but so is looking over. And your nigga sad cause he ain't got your toy. Mama mad, I'm lending the shit she barely could afford. But them my boys, and she don't know it. Niggas tried to jump me on a Wednesday morning. She could have lost a son. From that day forward, I told him what's mine is yours. And where we going, we going forward. And anything that I dream, know I'm dreaming for us.
Let's get it. This has been Ron Obasi. This has been Higher Frequencies, man. I really appreciate you coming down to the platform, bro. Showing love and just dropping gems like you always do, man. Hey, shout out your socials, too, for anybody that wants to like follow and keep up with your movie.
Follow me at Ron Obasi, RonObasi. No spaces, RonObasi. That's Twitter, that's Instagram. You can find me on Facebook with that name as well.
For sure. This has been Higher Frequencies. I'm your host, Sean Mike. We out. Yes, appreciate it, bro.